You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, Friday edition of the show. We're going to move away from the local sports front and talk NFL football. Joining us right now over the phone, we have Brian Mejia. He's joined us all year long to talk NFL football. Our Drive Time Sports NFL insider based out of L.A. Brian, as always, a pleasure to get you back on the show. Thank you.
Always great to talk ball with you, buddy. And yeah, the season went by so fast, and you know, the playoffs are here. Obviously, we're in the divisional round. Some upsets happened last week, but, you know, the divisional round is, in my opinion, the best weekend in sports. I think it's the closest matchups across the board, except for one in particular that's going to happen on Saturday night. But, you know, I think it's going to be a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, I do too, and we'll dive right into this, and we'll talk about tomorrow's games. First off, 2:30 start time, Atlanta at Philadelphia. The Falcons get past the Rams, which was such an impressive win, and I've said this about the Falcons all year long. I think there's more to this team than what is shown, and in fact, you look at the division, let's be real, they play in the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, the NFC South is packed front to back, so if you come out of that with a winning record, to me, you're a pretty good football team. We saw that on display this past Saturday at the Coliseum. Now they get Philadelphia, and a matchup, Brian, that looking at it, I love Atlanta's chances to get back to the NFC Championship with Philly playing without Carson Wentz. I love this matchup for Atlanta.
I do, too, and I think you're totally right. I think if they had I think it should win the NFL MVP and Carson Wentz, I think it would be a different matchup. But obviously, Atlanta is just clicking on all cylinders on defense. And offensively, they have been better, and that's something that we probably wouldn't have been saying last year. We were saying the offense is clicking on all cylinders, and they need help from the defense. But, you know, obviously, the defense has stepped it up, and obviously, in the first game in Los Angeles against the Rams, and now it's the defense that looks like the better unit, obviously. But, you know, obviously, one thing I will say about Atlanta is if they do figure out on offense, which I think they will, and I think a team like Philadelphia is prone to give up yards and whatnot, but I feel like this Atlanta team can get on a serious run and obviously make it to the NFC Championship game and do something in the Super Bowl this year.
Hey, the only thing that worries me about Atlanta when we talk about them offensively, and to me there's too much talent on that offensive side of the ball for them to continue to lag, but we go back to the Ram game. The Falcons were fortunate in a sense that Farrell Cooper, who is a Pro Bowl return man, had a hard time fielding punts and kickoffs in this game because you go back to the first four possessions, Atlanta punted out of their own end zone, I believe three times out of the first four possessions, if memory serves me right. Now, I think you can get away with that at Philadelphia this week because I don't view Philadelphia's offense as a legitimate threat. I don't believe you can get away with that, be it against the Saints or the Vikings. For one, the Vikings are too good defensively, and we're looking at the Saints, you're going to give Drew Brees good field position. That's not Jared Goff. There's a big difference there. So the offense has to be a little bit more precise than they were against the Rams in the wild card round.
Most definitely. And I mean, I think, like you said, they can't probably get away with it this particular matchup, but I think they are going to win. But obviously in the NFC Championship game, they're going to go up against one of the two best defenses in the league, obviously with Jacksonville. And obviously, they're going to go ahead and they might play their division rival in New Orleans again. So that's never easy for them either. So, you know, either way, it would be a tough matchup for Atlanta. But I do expect them to get to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, and if we talk about Philly, I don't want to write this team completely off. And I still think the sample size is very small for Nick Foles. He hasn't really had to do a whole lot so far this year on what's been placed in front of him. I mean, even go back to the game, the massive win that they got over the Rams in L.A. I mean, all Nick Foles really had to do was manage the clock and not turn the football over, and he managed to do that to eke out that victory. But since he's taken over as a starter for Carson Wentz, we're talking about a guy that's completed 55% of his passes for just over 500 yards. Touchdown to interception ratio is at 3. He's been sacked 5 times. Those aren't eye-popping numbers, and when you get to this stage in the season, you have to have good play from your quarterback, to say the least, and I just don't know if Nick Foles is capable of doing that.
I don't either, especially against a team like Atlanta, very experienced, playing good on defense. Offensively, they have the better quarterback, obviously, in Matt Ryan. So, I mean, I love what Philadelphia did this year. Obviously, it was a pretty good campaign for them. They lost the league MVP, in my opinion, in Carson Wentz. And, no, obviously, that's terrible. The same thing that happened to the Raiders last year when they lost Derek Carr. They looked like a team that was primed for a deep playoff run. And, you know, just an injury just impeded their season, and that's something that, that happens in the NFL. It's just always going to happen in the NFL, and, you know, you hope that this guy can come back healthy and not have a setback like Derek Carr did this year, but I really feel like the Eagles, you know, season went down the drain after that game in L.A. where Carson went to the ACL. So, but obviously the defense with Jim Schwartz is playing well, but we'll see how it does against Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta's going to let up. I think Atlanta's going to win this ballgame pretty convincingly.
Yeah, and that's not an indictment on Philly. I agree with you 100%. Look, there is no team in the NFL that has a backup quarterback that is going to step in, a playoff team that has a backup quarterback that's going to step in and give us a seamless transition. That's not an indictment on Philadelphia. It's just the facts. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. There's a big drop-off between the two there. Now, Brian, let's move on and talk about the night game tomorrow night. We get Tennessee at New England. To me, biggest mismatch on paper. I know they say never. Look, this Tennessee team, in my opinion, has no business being in the playoffs. They backwalked in. So I shouldn't say they don't have any business. They just don't fit the divisional round. It was a Kansas City collapse that put them in the divisional round. I talk more about the implosion of Kansas City than I do of the success for Tennessee. Is that disrespectful? Maybe so, but if the facts remain. I have a hard time taking this team serious, especially going on the road in Foxborough.
It doesn't look good, but you know, if I could make a case for them to maybe win the game out of, you know, one of the minute shot that I think they have, is just keep on running the ball with Derrick Henry and Marcus Mariota and ball control and keep the ball away from Brady. He usually carves up a tickleable defense, so it's going to be tough to stop Brady, and all you got to do is pray and be able to run the ball. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be New England moving on to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I just don't see a way Tennessee wins this contest. I don't. Maybe, hey, look, maybe Monday is accountability day for me. I just don't see it happening. Let's move on to Sunday's games. Again, we're being joined right now by Brian Mejia as we talk NFL football and the postseason schedule. Sunday morning, I like Pittsburgh to get to the Super Bowl. I think that's the team that can top New England this year. With that being said, I've said this since the beginning of the playoffs. You do not want to play Jacksonville. I don't have a lot of faith in Blake Bortles. I love Leonard Fournette. That's an offense that is built off of Leonard Fournette. All he has to do is ground and pound, and if the offensive line can win the trenches battle, Jacksonville's a dangerous team, because defensively, it's a bad matchup for Pittsburgh. I think Jacksonville can take a lot away from what Pittsburgh actually wants to do in this game. I think the Steelers get a win, but I think this is a gutted-out type victory for Big Ben and the Steelers.
I think they win, too, just because that's who I picked to get to the Super Bowl as well. But, wow. What a tough matchup. I mean, this is the toughest draw, I think, for any team. I think that's the team that they would least want to face in the entire NFL. And I say that with good confidence from stuff that I've heard. I feel like they would rather play the New England Patriots on Sunday morning and not the Jags. I think the Jags are just a terrible matchup for any team that likes to throw the ball around. And obviously, Pittsburgh's a team that likes to throw the ball over the field. They have Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, Martavis Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster. They have weapons galore, but the Jags have all of that. They have all the corners, all the defensive linemen, the pass rush, the linebackers that can cover. They have all of that. So it's just going to be a tough matchup for Pittsburgh, but at the end I do think Ben plays well enough to beat the Jaguars, and I think Blake Bortles cost the Jags a playoff game in Pittsburgh.
I talked about this briefly yesterday. One of the other things I don't like about this game is that Le'Veon Bell is actually making threats that he could sit out next season. I have a problem with that. I understand that he was asked the question. I get that. He didn't bring it up. But at the same time, for a guy that is this good, again, he's a top three back in the NFL, I would expect a little bit more maturity at this stage in his career. That is a distraction. It not only a distraction to Le'Veon Bell, or if he doesn't view it as a distraction, it is for the remainder of the team. I mean, they're going up against a defensive juggernaut in Jacksonville, and this guy actually says that he's threatening to set out next season. I have a problem with that in the postseason, Brian.
I do too. But if he was really going to do something, he would have said, I'm going to sit out the divisional round. How about that? I know, if he really wanted to make headlines or say anything like that, you say, hey, I'll sit out this game. You know, I don't really like those comments just because, like you said, it's a big distraction. But, you know, if he was really about getting paid and thinking about himself, he would have said, oh, I'm going to sit out the next game. I don't want to do this. I want to get paid already. You know, but obviously he wasn't going to do that. But you know, when guys say, oh, I have to sit out this year, I mean, they are probably will sit out, and he should be a guy that sits out. He needs to get paid as one of the top three backs in the NFL, like you said. But, I mean, he's going to get a significant pay raise, but obviously backs aren't getting paid as much as they used to. But at the same time, you know, he's a guy that does have to get his money. The Steelers do owe him money, and I feel like, you know, if he was going to be serious about the whole thing, he would have said, hey, I'm going to sit out the next game, the division around, and let's see how much I'm going to get paid next year.
Either which way, it's not wrong. It's wrong at this stage in the game. It's wrong.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
It's wrong. There's no excuse for it at this stage of the game, and I think it is a testament to his lack of maturity even this deep into his NFL career. Let's move on and talk about Sunday night's game. We get New Orleans at Minnesota. This is such a unique situation for the NFL. The Vikings, who will also play host to the Super Bowl, are more than likely going to play host to a divisional. Well, they're going to play host to the divisional round. If they win, more than likely they're going to play host to the NFC Championship, and if they win, they're going to play host to the Super Bowl. So this is a very unique situation for the Minnesota Vikings. With Carson Wentz being down, the Vikings are like in an NBA situation where you have home court throughout the entire playoffs. Right now, it's very possible that they have home field throughout the playoffs, including the Super Bowl. It's never happened before.
Exactly, and that's something that should be, that's never happened in NFL history. And the Vikings are trying to do something that's never happened. There's been a couple teams that have hosted the Super Bowl that you think, hey, this could be the first team that could actually host the Super Bowl in their home stadium. And, to play in the Super Bowl in their home stadium, and that, obviously the Vikings are going to be a team that's going to try to get there. And I think this is a team that's going to move on to play Atlanta next week in the NFC Championship game, so I think Atlanta's going to be going in there next week. But I will say this, the Saints aren't a joke. Obviously, they proved that when they played Carolina, but I just think this Vikings defense is just as good as the Jaguars. I'd take the Jaguars if I really had to pick one, but I think this Vikings defense is outstanding, and Case Keenum's playing like lights out. So I really feel like this team is going to do something special this year.
I really don't know what direction to go in this game, because at times, to me, the Saints look like a team that could win the Super Bowl, and at times they look like a team that probably is going to get tossed in the divisional round. Again, out of all the quarterbacks in the NFC that are still playing, I have more faith in Drew Brees, hands down, compared to anyone else. And yes, that does include Matt Ryan. Still, with that being said, I mean, what does a win in this round do for Case Keenum? We were talking about free agency just a minute ago and what Le'Veon Bell's going to do next season. What does a win here do for Case Keenum money-wise next year?
It depends on how he wins, honestly. And if I was him, I want to follow Pat Shermer wherever I go.
Wherever he goes, I agree.
I think he's a guy that should follow Pat Shermer. I don't think he should be a guy that, you know, takes a deal, a bad deal with another team or a bad deal with the Vikings. And I think the Vikings know that Pat Shermer is a big key to his success. I don't know if they're going to pay him. I don't know if they're going to keep Teddy, and I don't know if they're going to keep Sam Bradford. So they're in a very unique situation. So, but I will say this: I feel like the only way they will end up keeping him is if somehow they do retain Pat Shermer, but I think Pat's going to get a job because he's just been so good with Case Keenum. And if I was Case, I'd want to go with Pat Shermer wherever he goes. That's very unique, because obviously if they do win this round, and let's say some funny business happens where let's say Jacksonville beat Pittsburgh, let's say Tennessee beats New England for some reason. Out of the four teams, let's say it's Philadelphia that wins. Let's say it's the Vikings. Let's say it's Jacksonville, and let's say it's Tennessee. Out of those teams, who do you trust the most at quarterback? I mean, that would be a tough situation. That would be very intriguing to see, and a lot of bad quarterbacking, but at the same time, you know, the defenses are going to be pretty good. You know, outside of Tennessee, I think those three units are pretty good. So, I mean, it would be very interesting to see Case Keenum quarterback the Vikings to a Super Bowl and not get re-signed in the offseason via the Trent Dilfer thing.
Well, so, look here. I mean, again, I you know what? I'm on board. I like that idea. The quarterback matchups that you just mentioned. If I had to pick out of those four teams, I'm probably going to go with Tennessee and Marcus Mariota. And I feel bad for disrespecting Case Keenum and just thinking he's going to turn into a pumpkin. Pat Shermer has made a career out of basically being a quarterback whisperer. You know how many contracts Sam Bradford has been able to land? Good contracts because of Pat Shurmur. And now he's doing the same thing with Case Keenum. And he proved that, you know, it's not necessarily the talent that sticks within Teddy Bridgewater. It's the knowledge of Pat Shurmur. And so still, though, still out of those four, I would probably go Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I mean, Mariota's obviously the most talented guy. He had a pretty up-and-down season in terms of 13 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Played very well against the Chiefs. Threw himself for a touchdown. So, I mean, I can see that, you know, but, you know, out of those teams, you know, the best defense is between Minnesota and Jacksonville.
Yep.
And I'd take Keenum over Bortles for sure.
Fun conversation, definitely, as we gear up for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Brian, so great to get you back on the air today. We'll have to do it next week as we preview conference championship games. Thank you again for the time.
Will do, buddy. Have a good one. Thank you.
Definitely. That's Brian Mejia, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider, talking about the NFL playoffs. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.